This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Big Time Rush, performing live in concert, playing every song from every episode and more. Big Time Rush, with special guests Caitlin Tarver and Stephen Kramer Glickman. Get tickets Friday, February 28th at LiveNation.com.
Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Righty, good morning. It's Monday. It is the eve of Christmas Eve. How about that? I'm Mark Cox in for the Mark Cox Morning Show, which is why they call it that. Ethan and I are the only two souls who made it in this morning. How you doing over there, Ethan? You doing all right?
No.
Oh, come on. We're on the air, dude.
Yeah.
That's
an accomplishment at the moment.
Thank you. You're doing a great job. Thrilled to be here with you this morning. Kim St. Ange has the week off. Carl Middleman has the day off. So he was off Friday. He's off today. He'll be back tomorrow, I believe. Ryan Recker will be filling in tomorrow on Christmas Eve, and then we all have the day off for Christmas. There'll be some special Fox programming, and I think there's an Annie Fry special that airs through part of the day on Christmas Day. So still feel free to tune in if you're out driving around. Hopefully everybody's got their plans in place to enjoy things with family or friends over the holiday weekend, and it's been a busy one. Ethan, do you have all of your Christmas shopping done?
Yeah, for the most part, I believe so.
Are you like me? Does Stacy take care of most of that, and then you just have a few little things to get?
Yeah, unfortunately. We make a thing where I have to do my family, so my nephews and nieces and stuff I take care of. But
yeah, all right,
it's all good. She does most of it.
This is what you're doing. You're responsible for this, and then I'm good.
Exactly.
I just need to know that in advance. And then I'm good. I did venture out. I made the mistake yesterday of venturing out to Walmart.
Ugh, that's not a good idea.
What in the world was I thinking? On the Sunday before Christmas, the place was a zoo. Fairly picked over, too. I was a little surprised. I guess I was late to the game. I was looking for something very specific. And when I got there, the selection was limited. And I guess I should have gone a week or two earlier. I don't know. But now I'm stuck with what I can find, and you move on from there. It's just what we do. Lots for us to get to this morning. Our friend Hans von Spakovsky is also working on this Monday from the Heritage Foundation. We're going to get to him. Incoming Congressman Dr. Bob Onder, the 3rd Congressional District Congressman-elect, will join us. He's going to be sworn in January 3rd. I want to talk to him about maybe what happened last week, right at the deadline there. We had an opportunity to make a point and just shut it down for a week and a half, but they caved. They wouldn't do it. I don't know why. I consistently feel like Charlie Brown laying on the ground after Lucy pulls the ball away, but they do it every time. They will never let you down. And it's just so disgusting to watch what goes on in Washington, D.C. in the swamp. I mean, these deals are made, and you and I don't have a thing to say about it. We delayed it briefly, and they still got exactly what they wanted. And we got nothing. And now we still got this debt thing hanging over our heads, which President Trump was trying to fix. But they wouldn't do that either. So we'll talk to Bob Onder about that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. Jesse Jane Duff, Tom Ackerman in a little bit later. The big bragging rights game. I saw the tail end of it yesterday. That was a close game. I really thought Mizzou was going to pull it out, but Illinois managed to hang in there. And we'll get to some more details on what Ackerman thought about that. I'm sure he won't want to talk about the Notre Dame-Indiana game. That did not go well for the Hoosiers on Friday night. So I got all that coming up for you. Be sure and stay tuned for that right now. Ethan, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Under the Trump administration, it will be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders.
Yeah, you, what Ethan edited out there was the applause. That was at the Turning Point USA event out in Arizona this weekend. President Trump, he had a lot to say and a lot of things that are going to cheer you up on this Monday morning. If you missed him, I'm going to get to those for you coming up.
Well, there's going to be a hell of a lot less ankle monitors, so we're going to lock them up. We're going to put ankle monitors on people that we release. We're going to end catch and release.
Tom Homan, my favorite bulldog, he stood up at that TPUSA thing and said, I'm going to say a few things that might piss you off, but I don't care. And then he just moved right on into it. This is going to be epic.
I am not a Democrat in the form of what the Democratic Party has turned itself into, the national brand. Absolutely not. And they know that.
Yeah, Joe Manchin claiming Democrats, the Democratic Party, is toxic these days. His words, and boy, the left-wing media in this country did not like Joe Manchin uttering those words.
And also, I never believed that it was about fascism. And for me, that made it difficult for
Kamala Harris said that he was a fascist.
Yeah, well, it's like that's her prerogative. I mean.
Yeah. That's John Fetterman. If you didn't recognize the voice, we've talked a lot about this, and Kim and I've talked a lot about it since Election Day. If you were one of the Democrats who said like that Joe Walsh character, used to be a Republican, lives over in Illinois, was a congressman a long time ago. In fact, when he was a congressman, I had him on my weekend show here, probably 2010, 11. It was pretty early on. He was still in Congress. And I actually had him on the show a few times. I thought he was a decent human being. And then he turns out to be some kind of left-wing whack job, effectively, in my opinion. He's a never-Trumper. He hates Donald Trump. And he was on this weekend. Of course, he still believes all of the crap the Democrats were lying about with Donald Trump prior to the election. He still believes it. He still believes that Donald Trump's a fascist, that he's going to destroy the United States of America. He's gonna use, I guess he's big friends with Kinzinger and Liz Cheney. He's convinced Donald Trump is going to use the Department of Justice and the FBI to go after his political enemies. And what I've always wanted to do with people like Walsh is say, listen, did you slip into a coma in 2020 and just wake up? Did you not see anything that the Democrats did the last 4 years going after their chief political opponent, which was Donald Trump? It's been nonstop, particularly since he left office. It's been even worse. And these are the people that are now completely in denial that the Democrats would ever do anything like that. Listen, if they accuse you of it on the left, they're guilty of it. That's the party of fascism. We've seen it. We've seen it with this fake lawfare all over the country. And some of which still isn't decided. We know Fani Willis is out, and we know a few of these cases are going away. But it's not out of the question. Donald Trump could leave office in 4 years and still face some sort of jail time in New York. It's not out of the question. These people are insane, which is why I love the fact that Fetterman admitted that there are common sense Democrats out there who never believed that garbage that their own party was spewing, But very few of them stood up during the election and said that. They towed the party line. Go to cut one for me. There, Ethan, please.
You know, he had the energy and almost a sense of fearlessness to just say all those kinds of things. And people, it's undeniable that it has an entertaining aspect for that, too. And just if you're not afraid to say all of those things, or and after you survived an assassination, you literally were shot in your head, yeah, and had the presence of mind to respond, you know, fight, fight, fight. I mean, that's a political talent. It's undeniable. And also, I never believed that it was about fascism. And for me, that made it difficult for
Kamala Harris said that he was a fascist.
Yeah, well, it's like that's her prerogative. I mean, but it's not a word that I would use, because you put a lot of Democrats, especially in my state, that I know and I happen to love people that are going to vote for Trump, and they are not fascists. And also fascism, that's not a word that regular people, you know, use. That, you know, I think people are going to decide who is the candidate that's going to protect and project, you know, my version of the American way of life. And that's what happened.
Yeah, long bite, but I thought it was worth listening to what he had to say. That he got a little pushback on it. He's like, but no, don't. What you're describing is not what Donald Trump did. It's what the Democrats did. When you send FBI agents to school board meetings to investigate parents who are simply complaining because they don't want boys in girls' locker rooms, and you accuse them of terrorism, that's using the power of the state in a fascist way. That's what happened under Joe Biden's regime. No doubt about that. All right. We're going to get to a break here. Ethan, who have we queued up this morning for the national anthem?
I picked Charles Glenn.
Oh, nice. Love that. Hit it.
Oh, say can you see?
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com.
Democrats, you lost because you tried to convince the American people that it was racisty to close the border and not let people come in illegally to rob and murder them. You lost because nobody gives a f*** about the term Latinx. You lost because your Justice Department called parents who showed up at school board meetings terrorists, just for not wanting pornography in their children's classrooms.
Yeah, that's comedian Rob Schneider, who was at that same Turning Point event this weekend where President Trump spoke. And, you know, I love the guy. He's a comedian, right? Obviously, you know him from SNL and all that stuff. A lot of great movies he was in over the years. But he probably can't get a job. I imagine Rob Schneider is one of those people like Robert Davi and others in Hollywood who can't find work because of the positions he's taken on some of these issues. But he's still really good at combining his skill set, which is comedy, with making great political points. I thought this one was pretty funny.
You lost, Democrats, because men can't have babies, women don't have dicks, even if they play in the WNBA. And free speech isn't a privilege like a driver's license. It's a God-given right guaranteed by our Constitution.
Yeah, there he was. He was on fire. Rob Schneider was on fire this weekend. And he's right, though. I mean, all of these are things that the Democrats were trying to sell you during the course of the shortened presidential election. I mean, they were trying to sell to you for Biden, but let's face it, the crazies came out of the woodwork when Kamala Harris took over. One more of these from Rob Schneider last night at the Turning Point event out in Arizona. Listen.
You lost Democrats, you lost because you lied about January 6th, calling it worse than Pearl Harbor or 9/11, instead of what January 6th really was, the FBI guided tour of the Capitol building.
Yeah, it's true. He got good reaction to all of that last night. Of course, at Turning Point, that organization, I got to tell you, man, they have got the pulse of young people in this country, and that may be one of the greatest things we could ever hope for. That place was packed. There are people that had traveled to Arizona to attend this conference. Obviously, Donald Trump spoke out there. A lot of bigwigs spoke out there this weekend. And it gives me hope for the future. I've worried about that for the longest time. And they always told me these college campuses always vote liberal. They always go left. I think there's a groundswell of support among some of the young people out there right now to push back. And that's a good thing as we head into a new year here and MAGA politics. It's going to be awesome. January 20th cannot get here soon enough. All right. Going to take a quick break here. I don't know if you saw it or not. Joe Biden, somebody, maybe not Joe Biden, announced a bunch of commutations of death sentences this weekend. All of them. We're going to be back in just a minute.
You're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile. It's still a crap sandwich.
Yes, indeed it is. Good morning to you. Welcome in. You listen to the Mark Cox Morning Show here. It's we have a skeleton crew for you today. I'm the skeleton along with Ethan here hanging out. Carl Middleman's off. Kim St. Ange is off. We're waiting for our friend Drew who's going to join us here shortly. I understand Drew is... He got delayed on his way in because he's stopping to bring food to the crew. Is that right, Ethan?
I hope so. That'd be nice.
All right. So we're just checking in on our friend Drew, but we're doing okay here this morning. isn't that refreshing? A little lead for the head this morning as we came in from the break there. Some of these stations have all gone to Christmas music, and I know it's 2 days away. But you're going to get your share of that. Their place is playing it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I don't need to play Christmas music here on the morning show. We talk about Christmas. We know it's Christmas. It's Christmas Eve right now, which generally I would guess, Ethan, if I had to speculate, which I'm happy to do, this is the biggest shopping day of the year for men.
Oh, probably.
Don't you think?
Without a doubt.
Yeah, because... I would guess for those that have put it off till the very last minute, you're kind of relieved that it's a Monday and most things are still going to be open today. Tomorrow, it's starting to get a little questionable, right? It's Christmas Eve. Things are going to shut down early. So if you got to go after work and get that present that you haven't picked up yet, you're probably going today, if I had to bet.
Yeah. I think Amazon has made this a lot easier, though, even for men. If you forget, you get 2 days, so.
Yeah. This is true.
That helps a lot.
So let me, I would, if somebody had told me, and I'll just say up front, it's not my money. If somebody had told me that at some point in my life, I would pay $300 for an automatic cat litter box, I would have told them that they were insane. Can I just tell you that? So a few years ago, we got a cat from my mother. She's in her 80s. And she would hate me for even saying that on the radio. But she is. Because she couldn't handle a dog anymore. She can't walk the dog. The dog, you know, needs to go out. It needs more attention than that. So when the dog went away and got adopted, we went and bought her a cat. And I'm thinking, well, what could be easier than a cat? You can leave them for a couple days at a time as long as they've got food and water. Right. The cat has an automatic food dispenser. So the food comes out twice a day, drops it into the tray for it. As long as that's full and you've got a couple of bowls of water, the cat's fine.
Yeah, self-sufficient.
Yeah, self-sufficient. I just didn't consider the fact. I thought I'd bought a pretty easy cat litter thing. It's got a handle on it. You disengage it and pull it forward, and it's got a filter in it, so it saves the good litter, and it dumps the bad litter into the thing down below, and then you just like a slot machine, you push it back into place the handle, and then it's ready to go for the cat again. Somehow, this has become too complicated for my mother. And every time I go over there, there's a cat litter box full of crap that I got to go in and clean. So I finally said to her, I'm like, listen, I'm not suggesting this as a present, but I think it's time for us to upgrade your cat litter experience.
Yeah.
And I started noticing this online the other day. And when I searched it on Google or on Amazon, I just have to tell you, I was stunned at the number of options you have if you want to get an automatic cat litter tumbler, I guess, for lack of a better term. It's most of them are round, and it has sensors on it from six different directions to make sure the cat's not in it, because you could imagine how freaked out a cat would be if they were in it when it started to tumble. So it makes sure that the cat is out of it, and then it automatically filters itself, and it kind of spins in a circle till it saves the good litter, and it dumps the doo-doo out in the bottom, and then it comes back full cycle, full circle, and then the cat can go to the bathroom again. Now, my luck, after paying $300 for this thing, it's supposed to be delivered tomorrow. The cat's going to be too freaked out to get in it. That's what I'm worried about, honestly.
Nah, it'll work.
I read all the reviews. I'm pretty good about that these days. My wife actually has rescued me on that. She's like, don't ever buy anything from Amazon until you read the good reviews and the bad reviews. This one had 4.5 stars, thousands of positive reviews. They're all from China. I mean, you can't find an American-made one that I'm aware of. So the thing arrives today. It sits on four legs, and with any luck, we have at least temporarily solved the cat litter dilemma in my mother's apartment. I just couldn't believe how expensive they were.
I've seen them too. They are very expensive.
And this was a cheap one.
Right.
It was on sale for $299, regularly $3-something, and there were some on there for $599. There were some on there for double the price that I paid for them. I mean, at that point, does it hold the cat's tail up and wipe its rear end? I don't know what it does. What do you get for your extra $300?
It's got a bidet in it.
Maybe. Carl Middleman needs to get himself one of those, doesn't he? No, he's already got one. A bidet, that is. And he doesn't own a cat that I'm aware of. So, anyway, we'll give him grief about that. That was, though, believe it or not, the probably the biggest purchase I made. Like I said, it's not a gift, and I told my mom that, and she's like, yeah, I'm going to tell everybody I'm getting a cat poop cleaner for Christmas. I'm like, that is not your gift. To trust me when I tell you that, because all of her relatives will be giving me grief if that's what it is. It is to benefit me, though, because I'm the one that has to go over there and swap out the cat litter all the time. I'm just telling you. Blessed to have her around. Don't get me wrong. Just glad that I can do it. Yeah, I mentioned this just a minute ago, but some pretty stunning news. You know, you know where I stand on the death penalty if you've listened to this show for any length of time. It's necessary, and it ends the problem with recidivism, period. If you've committed the most heinous crime of taking the life of another human being, doesn't matter if it's a hate crime, doesn't matter what it is, if you've murdered somebody in its first degree murder and you did it with evil intent and you planned it out in advance and all that stuff, the worst of the worst, I am fully in support of the death penalty. I've covered death penalty cases through the years as a reporter. I would volunteer to go pull the switch on Old Smokey down in Florida. I would do it. I'd go witness it. I would go do it. I have no problem with it. Joe Biden is opposed to it. It's one of the few tenets of his faith that he actually follows, because if he was a real Catholic, he would be opposed to abortion, but he's not, because it's politically benefited him over the years. He is a hypocrite. So what did Joe Biden do in his waning days in office? Well, when he got in office, he put a moratorium on the death penalty. And he told the feds, you're not allowed to go after the death penalty unless it's a hate crime. So yesterday, what did he do? Donald Trump has claimed that when he becomes president, he's going to resume the federal death penalty. There were 40 people sitting on federal death row in the United States of America. 40. He commuted the sentence for 37 of them yesterday. Just let that soak in, people.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 864. Seasons.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who've been convicted of heinous crimes, and now we get to give them three hots and a cot for the rest of their miserable lives. Now, they won't ever get out of jail, but why are we still feeding them? They've proven that they have no legitimate good reason to continue breathing the same air that we do. Horrible human beings. Unless you happen to be one of the people that fit into the category of people Joe Biden hates more than other people, and then he's okay with it. So he has kept the death penalty for Dylan Roof, the guy that went into that black church in South Carolina and opened fire. So Dylan Roof will still get the death penalty, right? Dokar Tsarnaev, one of the Boston Marathon bombers who killed three and maimed dozens of others, he's still going to remain on death row. And Robert Bowers, who in 2018 gunned down 11 worshipers at a synagogue in Pittsburgh, those three people are the only ones he's going to let remain on death row. Now, why? Why would he spare those three? Not spare those three, but spare the other 37. Why? Is it because he knew it wouldn't be politically correct if he was? I mean, if you really believe, if you're really against the death penalty, just end the death penalty for all federal prisoners. Don't keep it for these three just because you seem to think that what they did was a little worse than what than the murders the other people caused. He also had a conversation last week with DePope. And DePope apparently made it very clear, according to his spokesman, that he was concerned about these people that were on death row. And he prayed with Mr. Biden that federal inmates facing execution would have their sentences commuted. And lo and behold, Joe Biden commuted their sentences yesterday. I don't know. I doubt if it's something Trump can overturn. And he said he did it because in good conscience, he cannot stand back and let a new administration come in and resume executions that he halted, as if his opinion is more important than Donald Trump's opinion. This is the arrogance you're dealing with. And at the end of the day, odds are Joe Biden make this decision because we know he's a vacant shell of a human being who's got people around him doing the hard work for him. Day-to-day decisions aren't being made by Joe Biden. It's a joke. It really is. All right, still to come this morning, we're going to talk to our friend Hans von Spakovsky. Maybe I'll bring up those commutations to Hans when we get him in here at about 20 after 6. We'll get to all that for you. Still got to check a business this morning. We are hoping to get to In Other News at about 6:45. It's all straight ahead on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Brown St. Louis Metro Police confirmed just in the last hour that it was four people who were hit as a car came driving through the crowd tonight. The oldest, they tell us, a man in his 70s. The youngest, that 12-year-old. St. Louis Fire Department saying there might have been two additional people who were hit tonight. Now, many were out here at Ted Drew's enjoying the candy cane lane, getting ice cream, and, of course, enjoying the Christmas festivities. That's when police say a little after 8 o'clock tonight, they got a call that multiple people had been hit by a car. Over the last few years, we've covered multiple people being hit at or around Ted Drew's. The Custard Stand is in the 6700 block of Chippewa Street in the city's St. Louis Hills neighborhood. This stretch of busy road has seen a number of crashes with people crossing the street or walking in the last few years, including two fatal crashes back in 2022. Of the people who were hit tonight, we know someone seems to have injured their head, according to police, all taken to the hospital as of now with non-life-threatening injuries after being hit by a 19-year-old driver.
Wow. Who? Thank goodness nobody was hurt seriously down there last night at Ted Drew's, and we've gone down and enjoyed Candy Cane Lane ourselves, and I know it can be packed on a holiday evening as people end up walking up to Ted Drew's to get a custard or whatever happens to be. The 19-year-old left the scene and then came back. Had a change of mind, I guess, because must have realized after panicking that leaving the scene of an accident like that, the consequences are going to be a lot worse. So they were questioning the 19-year-old. I'm sorry, Sue, you there?
I'm sorry about that. I have a question. Did he drive into the crowd? In other words, put some effort into driving into the crowd? Did he lose control? How did that happen?
Well, yeah, it almost sounds like maybe the driver came flying around that corner and was surprised that there were a group of people crossing the street about the time that he did.
Westbound or eastbound? Because if he was going westbound, which is what I understood, he would have had to cross lanes.
Well, I don't know. I got the impression that maybe they were crossing the street when it happened. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
All right.
Again, I mean, there are several streets there where you could, like, if you flew around that corner and made a hard right, it would be upon you. But it had to be distracted driving. I mean, I don't get any impression so far they think that it's anything intentional. Like that awful case in Germany. Wow.
Oh, that was
Did you see
nuts.
That?
I did.
They had like 60, 70 people injured, shut down the Christmas market for the rest of the holiday season because this guy, a medical doctor of all things, former, I guess he was a Saudi native living there in Germany, and didn't have much of an appreciation for Christmas, and lost his mind and tried to drive down the street while people were in one of these festivals.
Wow, that's terrible.
Yeah, well, I don't know if there were any fatalities or not. Maybe there were. I don't remember, but that's awful. So, Sue, welcome back. We're glad to have you back.
Hey, thank you.
Lots of people were missing you last week. They're like, you know, they love our fill-ins, but they're like, listen, Sue tells us exactly where problems are and we can avoid it. And she goes into detail and we're getting 30 seconds of traffic from Trent. So,
well, I'm afraid that's what's going to be this week because there's nothing going on. But we had a great time. We went to Chicago, and Chicago in winter is fantastic. Stay at the Palmer House with a beautiful tree. Went on some interior. You know, I love the architecture,
yes.
Mark. So we went on interior buildings tour, one or two, and saw Art Deco. It was a really, really nice trip.
Does that include the Empire State Building? That's pretty Art Deco, isn't it?
Well, that would be in New York.
So oh, no, that's right. That's you were in Chicago. Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
Art Deco, I'm thinking that lobby there.
No, I totally get it. But the Chicago Board of Trade has a fantastic interior that's Art Deco. I'll send you a picture. But it was great. It's just nice to get away. And walk through the snow in Chicago is great and then leave the next day. Perfect.
Yeah, that's beautiful. We took the kids up there a couple years ago, and, well, it was actually more than a couple. As you get older, it seems like last year, and it was 10 years ago, right? And I remember being able to walk down the Michigan Avenue when snow was falling, and it was, you know, we're walking back from a restaurant to the hotel, and
yes,
just gorgeous.
It's just beautiful. Trump Tower in the middle of everything, and it was fun.
Did you stop by?
Well, you know what? We did walk by.
Yeah.
It wasn't on the interiors tour, go figure. But at the river, and there's still people taking riverboat tours out there.
Really?
Even though it's really cold. Now, there'd be two or three people freezing on the top of those boats.
Yeah.
Most people were, you know, smashed on the inside. But, yeah, it's just a fun place to go for a couple of days this time of year.
Yeah, convenient and a nice little getaway. Good
exactly.
for you, Sue. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. We're glad you're back.
Thanks.
Absolutely. All right, we'll get to a quick break here. We got Hans von Spakovsky coming up from Heritage. He's back. He's had a couple weeks off, too. I don't know if he went to the Austro-Hungarian Empire or where he went while he was gone, but we'll talk to him about that here at about 6:20. Check of business at the bottom of the hour. We got Dr. Bob Onder, soon-to-be Congressman Bob Onder, when he gets sworn in on January 3rd. We'll talk about his take on how the budget deal went down, and what needs to change in this new Congress. We'll be back in just a minute.